I believe that in healthy humans, there is an inner compass that guides right from wrong. It may get modified through various lenses of philosophy, religion, and culture, but I think seeing peace and integrity and not causing harm are pretty universal. Unfortunately, it is also possible to get estranged from that compass, so it is good to stay in balance and in touch with it as much as we can. I'm Rose Skeeters, host of From Borderline to Beautiful, a show about hope and recovery for BPD. Hello and welcome to another episode of From Borderline to Beautiful. I'm your host, Rose Skeeters, and we are going to kick off season 5 of the podcast by talking about something that I feel like is so key in recovery. In order to recover, you need to know who you are, what you believe in, what you stand for, and what you're willing to be convicted in, so that you can make better decisions, so that you can have better relationships, and so that you can stop having such an unstable sense of self and a chaotic way of being. As a therapist and mindset coach, I speak with many people that feel lost and stuck in life. They often have a difficult time making choices and knowing what the right thing to do is. I can relate to this, as I have had my own fair share of difficulty determining whether or not my moral compass should be ruled by my in-the-moment emotions or whether it should be strong and steadfast. The answer seems pretty simple. Our choices should be guided by an unwavering moral compass, not by emotions. The reality is that feelings, no matter how strong, cloud the direction we should take. Let's say that you prefer to do what you want to do. I'll do what I feel like doing. I am who I am. Deal with it. You don't understand me. Deal with it. I'm going to do whatever I want. I mean, don't we have a right to do whatever we want to do when we want to do it? Feel your feelings and just go with it. Do you believe that? Do your children believe that? Isn't that mindset a little like playing with fire? If we walk around doing only what we feel like doing, what will we accomplish? Hatred, laziness, greed, jealousy, insecurity, pride, selfishness, bitterness, the desire to fit in. These are all feelings that can lead to broken relationships, theft, drug abuse, fraud, violence, murder, mental illness, and chaos. Living in the world that only honors people's feelings and neglects the viewpoint of right and wrong, it just doesn't sit well with me. This is not to say that feelings aren't valid or you should just dismiss them entirely. Feelings can be intense and need to be spoken about. And the ones that match the situations that we're in need to be validated in order for them to be let go of successfully. Feelings can be felt, though, without being acted upon. So let's look at it this way. What if I just feel like taking something that doesn't belong to me? Or what if I just feel like saying hateful things to someone because they're different than me? What if I just feel angry, so I hit the person closest to me? Or, I don't really feel like telling the truth, so I'm just gonna lie whenever it suits me. Aren't those things wrong morally? So let's talk about core values. The challenge that I have for you this week, and that I have for you in general in recovery, wait, who am I kidding? I will always have this challenge for you because I believe in it so deeply as a cornerstone of recovery. Feel your feelings and make the right choice based on your core values. Let's take a look at the core value of commitment. If we are to commit to something, it means that we are going to dedicate ourselves to that person or thing. If we have committed ourselves to a new job or a task, we get up every day and do the best we can during the workday. Let's say you've committed yourself to treatment. Do you get up and go to your program? Do you drive to your DBT group or log on for your virtual sessions? Do you show up to your therapy sessions or your coaching sessions? Did you commit to listening to this podcast right now? It doesn't matter if we're frustrated, tired, sad, or even happy. We're still going to honor a commitment, especially one that includes work. Commitment is independent of feelings. If you're listening to this podcast, you know that. Because if you're listening to me, likely you've felt the deep desperation that accompanies having big emotions. But you're here, committed. And even just being committed to this episode, if you're not in a good mood right now, or if you're feeling dysregulated right now, you know what I mean. Core values like commitment, they're all independent of feelings. Integrity is another great example of this. Integrity means doing the right thing even when no one is watching. How many times have you thought, I don't feel like doing this? And you do it anyway because you know it's the right thing to do. The thought, I don't feel like doing this, that's actually a feeling. If you went with that feeling every single time you were tired and not feeling up to the task, there would be dishes in the sink, laundry and trash everywhere, and extra pounds on your waistline. Maybe you don't even have a job because you don't feel like it. Integrity, like commitment, is independent of feelings. If you have integrity, you can feel like you don't want to do something, but you do it anyway because it's the right thing to do. A moral compass includes our principles, values, and beliefs. In typical development, our early childhood caregivers teach us these principles. If you have experienced a break in attachment or early childhood trauma and neglect, if you have this diagnosis, if you're listening to this podcast, if your child, if you're listening on behalf of your teenager or your child or your adult child, and they perceive that they've had that break in attachment and that early childhood trauma and neglect, they might have to start from scratch in developing their own moral compass and may need your support to do that. So you might be asking yourself now, where do I start? A solid moral compass includes core values that will eventually govern your behaviors. In order to begin the process of developing a moral compass, you will need to do some research to determine which core values you want to include in your compass. I'm going to tell you the core values that I have chosen, and I'm going to add some other ones to that first. If you value something, you hold it in high regard, pursue it, and even love it. So I'm going to run down a list right now of core values. After I do that, we're going to talk about ways to rethink your moral compass, and I will define my core values for you again. All right, so here is a list of some core values: integrity, honesty, loyalty, honor, courage, commitment, selfless service, respect, self-discipline, kindness, forgiveness, transparency, trust, joy, and humility. These are 15 core values, though there are hundreds of them. Here's some steps to follow to start living by your own moral compass. Number one, take those 15, do your best to find the values within those that resonate with you. I say within those because a lot of people will choose values that are emotional, like they value being creative. Okay, well, that doesn't help me make good decisions, does it? Doing the right thing doesn't always feel good, right? We looked at that before. Like, let's say tonight I feel like eating M&Ms. I feel a little like ice cream. I'm feeling a little like pizza. I'm feeling a little like, you see, that means that I could just do whatever I feel all the time. Oh, I'm feeling artistic today, so I don't need discipline. So I want you to look at the 15 that I just listed. I'll do them one more time. Integrity, honesty, loyalty, honor, courage, commitment, selfless service, respect, discipline, kindness, forgiveness, transparency, trust, joy, and humility. So find the ones there that resonate with you and rank them in order of importance. That's step two. Step three, write them down. Step four, define them. Step five, hang those values and the definitions everywhere you can see them. On your fridge, on your mirrors. Get one of those markers that you can write on a mirror. Write them there, in the car, on a desk, on your dresser. And then practice making all of your choices align with these values. You can get a piece of paper and write good choice, bad choice. Some people don't like the word bad. I'm sorry for that. Good and bad. There are bad decisions. Every episode that I've had, BPD episode, I made bad decisions. They're bad. I'm okay with categorizing them that way. So if you need a measure to figure out whether or not your choices align with those values, look, was it a good choice? If it aligned with my values, yes. Was it a bad choice? If it didn't align with them, yes. And then step seven, practice, practice, practice. It's going to take time to develop the ability to match your choices and actions with your moral compass. Like anything new, it's going to require patience and practice. If you're still stumped or you're looking for an example, I'm going to give you the list of my 10 core values and their definitions. With a solid moral compass, I can make choices that align with those core values even when it doesn't feel good. I know what I stand for, and knowing what I stand for helps me trust in myself and my choices. I can also use that moral compass to help with my parenting. I can say I know what I want my son to stand for because these are the values that my family stands for. So as I look at how to help with his behavior and shape his behavior, I can ask myself, did he clean his room? Did he do it with integrity? Did he do it with discipline? Was he kind today? Do I need to help him learn how to do these things? What is he missing? Is there a natural consequence that he could have that would help him develop integrity? He might not like it. Maybe he doesn't feel like feeding the dogs. So I have to look at my core values. Do I want to parent him in a way that makes him comfortable? Or do I want to parent him in a way that gives him integrity, helps him be loyal and disciplined and selfless and kind? It's absolutely discipline to feed the animals. It's loyalty because they love us and they need that. It's selfless because he doesn't want to, so he's got to put aside his self and do something for them. It's humble. It's kind. Right? And so I can use that moral compass now in this area of recovery that I'm in to help even with parenting. It's just such a great framework. It's the foundation on which I stand. It's how I make decisions. It's how I look at my family life. It's how we operate as a family. It is so key and so important. So I'm going to read my 10 core values out for you and their definitions. And this is how we're kicking off season 5 with just, for some of you, this episode is going to be a review or refresher. And for some of you who are newer to the podcast, this will be a new concept. And I really hope you kind of take this on and you move forward doing it, because it is so good for you to begin to create a framework for the person you're trying to become, so that when the emotions take over, you're not lost in the woods, that you have a true north, and that you know exactly how you want to behave once you are able to regulate those emotions. Okay, here are my 10 core values. Number 1, honesty. Speak the truth and act truthfully. I didn't say this, but I will right now, in the middle of defining these. My core values are black and white. You're either honest or you're not. Withholding information, telling white lies, those are not honest. So another thing that I find very freeing about morality is that it's black and white. So again, honesty, my 1. Speak the truth and act truthfully. 2, integrity. Doing the right thing even when no one is looking. 3, loyalty. Being faithful and devoted to loved ones. 4, courage. Being afraid of something and doing it anyway. 5, self-discipline. The ability to do what I think is right, despite temptations to abandon my pursuit. 6, forgiveness. Deciding that someone who has wronged me doesn't have to pay or be punished. 7, joy. Joy means choosing to be happy or content, even if I don't get my way. Number 8, selfless service. Being helpful and kind to others, as well as serving others without expecting a reward or praise. Number 9, humility. Putting others first by giving up what I think I deserve. And number 10, kindness. Being friendly, generous, and respectful and considerate of others. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening to another episode of From Borderline to Beautiful, and I will be back next week for Season 5, Episode 2 of the From Borderline to Beautiful podcast. Are you tired of feeling frustrated, resentful, or disconnected from your family, friends, and partner? Thrive Mind Body LLC Mindset Coaching and Counseling can help you. Visit us on the web at thriveonlinecounseling.com. Again, that's thriveonlinecounseling.com.